Keep an Open Mind by Grimley Pine. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Hockey RPF, the Chicago Blackhawks. It doesn't make them better on the ice. And it doesn't make them better with communication. And it doesn't make them better with each other. Because for the most part, they keep it locked down. They've had this connection for nearly as long as they've known each other. Patrick doesn't know why it happened. What made it so that, out of all the people in the world, it's Johnny, and only Johnny, whose thoughts he can read. But there it is. One day it was just Patrick in his head, and the next, he'd woken up with a background awareness of Johnny in there too, and a panicked, thumping voice saying, "Oh shit, you two." They've made it work since then. Patrick knows they'd both go nuts if they kept their connection open all the time, with no room to breathe and be separate. So most of the time they wall it off. So that Patrick can't tell what Johnny's doing or what he's feeling, really. But he can tell distantly that Johnny's okay and content. He can prod Johnny carefully, with the mental equivalent of a friendly elbow jab to the side, and have Johnny lower the wall for a moment, flood him with a heady incident of Jonathan Taze as being. And it's like being patted on the head and wrestled affectionately and sniped at. And Patrick says, "Thanks," and retreats, inexplicably reassured. All in all, it's a miracle Patrick's been able to hide how in love with Johnny he is all this time. He keeps it tucked away, though, like an ember, and Johnny never goes looking for it. And anyway, even if he ever caught the freefall swoop of Patrick's stomach when he looks at Johnny sometimes, he probably wouldn't even know what he was feeling, dumbass that he is. There were some moments when Patrick thought for sure he'd given himself away, like the giddy haze they'd found themselves in after they won the cup, when Patrick looked at Johnny and found himself with all his defences pulled down, halfway to sinking his mind into Johnny's, like dropping a stone in a well, never coming back out. Luckily for Patrick, Johnny had just taken it as part of the helpless exuberance from their win, had laughed, startled, and given Patrick the mental equivalent of the hug he'd pulled him into 3 times already, before he said, "We did it, buddy," and gently ushered Patrick back out. Patrick didn't slip up again for a while after that, not even when he'd spent the following weeks gloriously, happily drunk. Sometimes it's Johnny who breaches the wall, in the middle of the night, when he can't shut his brain off. He talks to Patrick about things he wouldn't say out loud. Early on, it was his worry about the C on his chest, about living up to that title. Now it's any time he feels like he isn't being enough for the team, the losses he carries in his chest, the things that keep him up. Like this, he can confess them to Patrick. Patrick knows because there's something surreal about the cord connecting them, the breathless space that is theirs alone. It's like being a child again, and whispering secrets in the dark, with the knowledge that everything will be forgotten in the morning light. Whoever's responsible, it seeps through without them intending it to at times. They're out at dinner, and Patrick's poking his tongue out at Sharpie when he laughs at Patrick about something. His mouth prickles dryly with thirst, which wouldn't be unusual, except for how he drained his water glass less than 10 minutes ago. Johnny's water is pushed closer to Patrick than it is to Johnny, so he reaches out without looking and shoves it carefully to his left, until it bumps Johnny's shoulder. Johnny mutters his thanks and reaches out for it. And because Patrick's been looking at Sharpie through all of this, he catches the slight quirk of his mouth, like he's considering a comment but decided to drop it. 3 days later, Patrick's scowling at his feet in locker room because he can feel a headache creeping up behind his eyes. Probably didn't get enough sleep the night before. And Johnny's exasperated warmth in his head alerts him even before the rattle of the ibuprofen bottle flying at his head. His hand snaps up to catch it, and he looks up and nods his thanks at Johnny as he twists the cap off. Johnny flicks his fingers at him. "Either take better care of yourself or quit projecting your pain," and tosses him a bottle of water too. "You guys are weird," Steve says decisively, snapping the silent standoff that the two of them are caught in. And Patrick blinks, shakes his head, lifts the bottle to his mouth for a drink, and leaves it to Johnny to make the appropriate "pot, kettle, look who's talking" comment. No one's ever going to look at them and say, "Hey, telepathy," so everything they do just gets chalked up to them being weird about and with each other. Which isn't too far off course. Like, 80% of their behaviour and interactions would probably be the same, even if they had no idea what was going on in each other's heads. Patrick just never knew how much he'd come to rely on that other 20%. Until Johnny's concussion happens and everything stops. Everything. Slowly. Over a period of days, Johnny's presence in Patrick's head filters out like someone's turning down the volume. Fuzzy. Weak. Until he isn't there at all. It scares the hell out of Patrick when he realizes what's happening. For the first time in years, he's entirely alone in his own head. Before, he could reach out and feel that Johnny was there, at least, even if their connection wasn't open. Now it's all empty. It makes sense, Johnny says, jaw tight with tension, even as he's obviously trying to be calm. Act like this isn't freaking him out as badly as it is Patrick. I mean, my head probably can't handle getting better. And the whole... He waves his hand around in what's become kind of their unspoken gesture for telepathy, since they usually feel pretty stupid saying the word out loud. Right, Patrick says, nodding firmly. Like hell he's going to be any less calm about this than Johnny. If Johnny's head can't even handle being connected to Patrick while he's getting better, he's not going to make Johnny look after Patrick's emotional well-being too. It'll come back, I bet. Johnny looks at him for a long moment, eyes dark and serious, before he says quietly, I really hope it does. That's the first time either of them have said it out loud. The first time either of them have even come near admitting aloud that this weird thing between them has somehow become a total necessary part of their lives. Patrick sags against the arm of Johnny's couch, reaches out and taps his knuckles against Johnny's thigh. Me too. He doesn't say. Can't say it the way he normally would. But Johnny pushes his leg briefly against Patrick's hand, like he heard it anyway. Patrick relaxes a little further at that. It's not like they suddenly stopped understanding each other just because this aspect of their interaction went away. They'll get through this until it comes back. It will come back. Rest up then, asshole, Patrick says, smiling at Johnny with less effort than he thought it would take. Get better soon. It rattles him pretty badly, though, after that, reaching out to say something to Johnny in his head and realizing that he can't. He spends a lot more time over at Johnny's in the evenings because if he can't just know how Johnny's doing without being there, then he's going to be there. He doesn't care how it looks, doesn't care about how sharp he seems like he's going to say something once or twice, doesn't care about anything other than the way that Johnny looks at him when Patrick's there. Grateful. Like if Patrick hadn't followed him home, Johnny would have turned around and gone to Patrick himself. The season goes on. Johnny slowly gets better. They're in the playoffs. They lose to the fucking Coyotes. The telepathy doesn't come back. That is it for Patrick's composure. He's done. He runs, really. There's no other name for what he does. He drinks and ignores Johnny's text because he has to learn how to pull back now, doesn't he? If the telepathy's not coming back, if it's going to be just him in his head for good, he'd better figure this out without Johnny now. Better start practicing. This isn't going to wreck him. He won't let it. Everything else is too important to him for that. And it's... Johnny's still there. Patrick's just going to give himself this summer. That's all. He repeats that to himself for weeks. Repeats it when he's drinking, when he's ignoring the scathing articles. Repeats it until he falls asleep one night and wakes up to the sound of Johnny's voice calling, Kana! Kana! Patrick! Patrick jolts upright, heart slamming in his chest. He almost looks around to see if Johnny's in the room, or if he's left his phone on or something, but years of habit beats a period of a few lonely months. And without even thinking about it, it's Johnny's mind that Patrick goes for first. Johnny? Patrick says, diving in, even as his hands clutch the sheets in disbelieving hope. Sifting through everything Johnny's basically throwing at him. The worry Johnny's been carrying. The giddy happiness of having this back. The wordless support Patrick didn't know he needed so badly until it's there. A solid touch, like having Johnny's hand on his back. Yeah, Johnny says, feeding a little more of that heady relief into his mental voice. I woke up this morning and I could feel you snoring.
I don't snore, Patrick says automatically. Then he laughs, covers his face. Laughs again because he has no idea what to say.
Johnny.
Johnny sobers, softens, smiles miles away.
Told you it'd be back.
Shut up, I told you, Patrick says nonsensically. And when he feels Johnny laughing at him in his head, feels it again. He can't even help himself. Just lets everything go. Everything he's been feeling, hiding, holding back. The only things left in him that Johnny hasn't seen. It'll be okay. He's got Johnny back in his head. And with all that he can feel from him, Patrick's got to trust Johnny to make it okay. Johnny goes still, physically, in his bedroom miles away, and in his head, where Patrick's opened up the tangled, complicated knot of relief, love, and apprehension he's been keeping to himself. He shows Johnny the first time he wanted to kiss him, the instinctive urge he'd had to run when he thought their connection was gone for good, the dizzy relief seeping through him right now, that not even his nervousness over Johnny's reaction can dissipate. It's easy like this, when he doesn't have to say it, when he can just lay it all out for Johnny to see. Johnny takes it all in, takes a breath.
Pat, he says.
And when he says Patrick's name, it comes with a thousand other things attached, a murmuring chorus of,
oh,
and,
I didn't know,
and,
me too, dumbass, of course me too.
Patrick gets a vivid image of his own face after a game they've won. Gets the memory of how sharply Johnny's stomach had twisted with wanting to kiss him. A feeling wholly familiar to Patrick. And he falls back on the bed and lets his head hit the pillow, grinning up at the ceiling like an idiot.
You are an idiot,
Johnny says, sweet and douchey and fond.
Now, are you coming back to me or what?
Yes, Patrick says, and
soon,
and revels in the knowledge that he'll have Johnny with him every minute until he gets there. The end. Thanks for listening.